You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Hey, good morning to you, Cardi, and what a glorious, glorious day on yesterday.
Man, I'm not going to lie. I'm still contemplating. I'm not even going to say contemplating. That's not the word I'm looking for today. I'm still reminiscing on the day of yesterday, man. That was a huge, huge, huge day for everyone. Big day for Ukraine, big day for supporters, and big day for you and for myself to see you out there doing your thing, man.
Well, you know, I'm talking about the weather.
Oh, well, I'm talking about the speech, you know.
Okay, hey,
that was very heartfelt, man.
Yeah, man, the weather was fantastic.
It was.
And I just want to say thanks, big thanks to Sharkey, John Scott, and the Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice.
Yes.
Which had just a great rally on yesterday here in Racine.
Good numbers.
Oh, man. And it actually kind of took me back, you know, to the Vietnam rallies and protests. And to know that there are people who are fighting this battle and you're not alone certainly gives you, you know, the impetus to keep on battling and keep on fighting. I've said on these airways many times, that along the way, we're sitting back waiting for Cardi, for every, elected officials and others to fix this. But it's going to take grassroots efforts, and that's exactly what the Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice are. That's a group that was organized over 4 years ago to fight then-President Donald Trump, and they started battling with him when he was the president over 4 years ago. And they've only ramped up their efforts now that he's reelected, and they're going to be trouble. And they're going to be trouble because, you know, as former Senator John Lewis once said, you know, good trouble, you know, when people are organized and when people are willing to get out in the street and rally and mobilize and certainly organize, then we can make changes. And, you know, I've got one of my favorite elected officials. I don't have many, but clearly this guy is right amongst the top two, if not the number one elected official that I am really pleased with and have been for a long time. State Senator Chris Larson, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
That is some heavy praise, Earl. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, kudos to you with the Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice and getting out there, man. The more people that hear you, the better. That's fantastic.
Well, you know, Senator Larson, you and I go back a long way from your early stages in office, and I'm not just saying this, you know, you've heard me say it constantly, in support of you. You are just what the doctor ordered. You are a guy who's willing to, you know, fight for the people. It doesn't matter if you're outgunned or outnumbered, because ever since you've been in office, you've been outnumbered and outgunned.
Yeah. It'd be nice to be on the winning side. We're getting pretty close. We're not quite there yet. But, yeah, I'm proud to be in the fight with you, Earl. And more and more people are figuring it out.
Let me ask you, Chris, how the babies?
Oh my gosh, they're not babies, man. My oldest he's about to turn 13 and he's getting ready to run his first half marathon.
Oh, 13 already?
Yeah, Atticus. Yeah, and then my my 10-year-old, she had her. She's untamable. She's awesome. She's playing piano, doing gymnastics, and just she got a flaw. I'll tell you this: you'll get a kick out of this. There's some Musk supporters or Musk funded door knockers who were out in the community. I got home. I was knocking on doors myself for Susan Crawford, and I stopped by the house really quick just to grab a bite and head back out. And I saw the flyer that the Musk folks had dropped off, and she had colored the whole thing, rebranding everything of putting poop emojis over Donald Trump and calling out Brad Schimmel's lies. I could not be more impressed. That kid is on it.
So the apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
She's overheard too many of my conversations.
you know, Senator Larson, I will say this to you. You know, you've been in this battle for a long time, and I've said this. You know, even if you're outnumbered, it doesn't mean you shouldn't keep fighting, right? I mean, I've heard people say to me, elected officials, we're outnumbered. And so, but that's no excuse or reason not to fight, is it?
Yeah, and look, just to be clear, I do think that there are a number of folks who are on our side. It's just a matter of talking to them and having those conversations to get them to realize that the folks that they might be lining up behind right now do not have their best interests at heart. And I firmly believe that, and that's true of a lot of folks who either didn't vote or voted for Trump. You know, some people, honestly, they don't have the time to be able to sit down and examine exactly what's going on with their politicians, with who is fighting for who, figuring out the web of lobbyists and who has control over who at the state government or federal government. And so a lot of times they just think, well, you know what? It's not working for me. This person is in charge. I want to see him gone. I want to see something change. This guy says he's going to do something for me. What's the worst that could happen? And a lot of them are finding out the people who voted for Trump or just skipped the election are realizing, like, yeah, this guy never had a plan for you. He knew what he was going to do from the beginning, and it was all about lining his own pocket, getting himself richer, serving the billionaires so that he and his buddies can make out like bandits while robbing America and Americans of the promise of a secure retirement, of affordable health care, of quality education, of clean air, of clean water. They're selling all of it out. And it just takes individual conversations to get people to realize, you know, say, hey, what do you value more than anything? Do you think this guy cares about the same things you do? And unless the person is a billionaire or a white supremacist, the answer is going to be no. So we just got to have those conversations.
If you're just joining us, my guest is State Senator Chris Larson. You know, Senator Larson, as I said to you earlier, we've been focusing so much on national politics. It's hard not to when you're dealing with what this nation is faced with, and Donald Trump and Elon Musk and all those other things. But, you know, all politics are local. And so on the state level, I thought it would be important if we caught up with you and talked about, you know, what's going on at the state level. We know it's the budget time, as always. Why is it always so impossible to pass the budget? It used to be a time when you could get it done, even though, and I've been around long enough, I remember when even Democrats and Republicans who had differences knew the importance of making sure that the budget was passed. But that almost seems to be an impossible task now. Is it solely because of Robin Voss, or is it a whole lot of other things?
You can't let Republicans off the hook like that, Earl. You're right that Robin Voss is the ringleader for sure. He is the Pied Piper running the rest of the Republicans off of the cliff. But that doesn't excuse them from having agency, right? Like,
right.
They could tell him no. They could say, you know what? Like, my school district keeps having to go to referendum. that expanding unaccountable vouchers pulls money out of their classrooms and means that they're valuable to keep quality teachers year after year. They could say that to Robin Voss because that's true of literally every state representative in the state. Every state representative has had a referendum in their district in the last few years, and it's 100% because the state, it keeps on holding back funds for public education, forcing the locals to make it up. They could tell Robin Voss, this is the time to pass a budget that funds special education. At the very least, funds special education in public schools at the same rate as it reimburses it for private schools getting vouchers. That would help half of these referendums from having to happen at all. They have power to do that. I know they're hearing from their school districts because I hear from them. Because they're not doing that, they let Robin Voss be the guy who says, you know what, we decided we're going to throw out all of the things that are in this budget, and we might not pass a budget at all. Because we'd rather hold out on the $4 billion in hopes that we can just give it in tax breaks to the rich people who write them campaign checks. So they can say no to any of this. Robin Voss, you're right, he's their leader, but they elected him, so they take responsibility.
You know, Senator Larson, you mentioned education, and every sense vouchers came into existence, there are people who will continue to argue that the public school system is broken and it must be dismantled, and the only way to fix education in this state is to basically destroy public education. I know you don't believe that. I don't know how anybody can believe that when Senator Larson, that's where the majority of the children are. What sense does it make to destroy the vehicle where the majority of the children are in order to benefit a handful?
Yeah. No, I wish more people thought about it and exactly.
Senator Larson, hold the thought. Senator Larson, hold the thought, if you will, please. State Senator Chris Larson is on the line. It is always great to reconnect with him. 855-752-4842. He's on his way to Madison. But I'm glad he can, take a little time to have this conversation with you and I. State Senator Chris Larson and you on the Earl Ingram Show. 855-752-4842 is the number. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Know how much I care. I'll never give up looking for my baby.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guess is none other than State Senator Chris Larson. And Senator Larson, before we went to break, I was asking you about your thoughts on me not understanding why people don't understand that the majority of where the students and children are deserving of the majority of the finances, and especially with all the special needs children that public schools are mandated to educate by law. They can't turn away those children while private schools can. Explain that to us.
Yeah, that's a... I'll just say this right off the bat. 83% of students in the state of Wisconsin are public school students. So that's the vast, vast majority. And this is there because of the amount of money spent on lobbying and by hedge funds who are trying to push this as an alternative, and because the amount of subsidy is so great, people would think that the number is like 50-50 of the number of kids in vouchers versus those in public schools. But it's 83% in public schools and 6% in our state are on a voucher. But those voucher students, they take a huge chunk of change. It's about double the cost per pupil of money that's going over to voucher students than if they would have stayed in a public school. The other problem with it is, they end up pretending that you pull a kid out of a voucher school, or you pull a kid out of a private school, they go to a voucher school. The reality is 80% of these students, Earl, never attended a public school. And I think that's important to recognize. We are simply subsidizing the private education of people who are going to attend those schools anyways. And the students that they do take, of course, are the easiest to teach, which means that they are not English second language learners. They are not students with a disability. They are not students who are housing insecure. They are not students who are coming from a life of poverty. Those are the hardest kids to teach. You correct for that, and you end up addressing most of the issues of how it's difficult to teach in public schools by addressing those underlying concerns of physical, mental health, and well-being. Private schools can and do kick those kids out, which is why they end up saying, oh, we can do such a better job. You could do a better job if you had a kickball team where you could choose all of the players on both the teams, where you kick the ones off that you don't want to have on your team. I coach some of my kids' sports. We've been across teams that do that, where they just put in the good kids and they bench the kids that are still learning. Right. And it's like, okay, who does that help? I believe in a more democratic model where everybody should succeed. And in society, we've seen the result, Earl, of not investing in public education. It's been 15 years since we have funded students at the same level they were back in 2009 on a per pupil basis. And I think it's criminal that we have a surplus that we're sitting on when we have pulled those funds out of our kids' classrooms and shortchange their future. That's where we need to be investing in every single child, because when we invest in them, we're really investing in our state and each other.
You know, Senator Larson, I had no idea that 83% of the children are still in public schools. If you listen to the other side, you're thinking it's 50-50. The other side of this is, and people need to be aware of this. There was a time not so long ago that when they talked about vouchers, it was for poor children, and we were trying to subsidize and help them. But the Republicans turned this into a gravy train, because people who were paying to send their kids to private schools had to pay. I remember when one of my sons was in high school, we sent him to a private school. My wife and I paid for him to go to a private school. There were others who were there who were vouchers. I didn't begrudge that, but I paid to have my child go to that school. And yet here we are today. People like me who could afford to pay to send their kids to a private school, they don't have to do that anymore. The taxpayers are doing that. How does that make any sense?
Right. That's it. That's exactly the problem. And they end up taking the students who are accepted, again, are those that are the easiest to be able to teach.
Yes.
And if there are problems, they can remove them. On top of that, they don't have to have the same level of standards as public schools, which is a huge problem, right? That means that they can end up teaching things that are not scientific, right? A lot of that gets chalked over as being religious education.
Yes.
But you can have a school spend a ton of time on religious education without actually teaching the fundamentals of civics, critical thinking, other pieces that frankly get the attention in our state capital. Those are only requirements for public schools, not private. Right now, there's a great debate. It's been two sessions now that they keep talking about trying to mandate cursive in our schools, Earl. That would only apply to public schools. So all of this stuff that they're getting upset about, it's just in the public side, and they can those other mandates and requirements, those private schools can just ignore. And I don't begrudge private schools. I went to a private school growing up from grade school and high school against my will. You don't have a choice when you're a kid.
Right.
As you can imagine, I was a pretty strong-willed young man. But I went to my private school, rebelled as much as I could. But there was those pieces there where you didn't have a choice. You had to attend mass. You had to learn the religious education. And because of that, in public schools, you have that advantage of actually learning how civics work and how you're learning across cultures, across your other students, which you don't get in a private school, right? And I think we should be taking a lesson of what making sure that we invest in every single child instead of trying to lifeboat them away from each other in society. That's not how a democracy is supposed to work. We're all supposed to be in this together.
My guest is Senator Chris Larson. 855-752-4842 is the number. We're going to talk a little bit about insurance, health insurance, as we continue the conversation with Senator Larson on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. So, Senator Larson, Badger Care is without question. I've had a lot of insurances in my life. And, you know, when the company that I worked for 34 years, A. O. Smith, basically left this nation, our union was able to broker a deal with Badger Care to carry us over until we reached the age of Medicare. And Badger Care was one of the best insurances I ever had. So why is it that Republicans on a national level right now want to do away with Medicaid and which really helps children more and the elderly? Why is it that they don't understand this, Senator Larson? And why aren't they paying a price for this?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that most people do have at their core an understanding that, yes, this helps folks who need it the most. But for a lot of folks, they're living pretty good. You know, and if the world hasn't tumbled into them sideways, they have no reason to believe that they're ever going to end up in that situation. Unfortunately, if there is not a system in place like Badger Care, when the world does come slamming at them sideways with a health scare, whether it be a cancer diagnosis or some other medical condition, they'll find out the hard way that we have a horrible model for healthcare in this country, as a lot of people across the country have figured out, found out the hard way. So I, as much as I am with you 100% on making sure that we are helping our most vulnerable populations in Medicaid, which covers half of the births in our country, which also makes sure that our seniors are taken care of at the time of the life where they most need it, covering over half of the nursing home stays for our grandparents across the country. Yeah, I would say that we should be going in the opposite direction, which is to make sure that everybody has access to affordable health care so that everybody isn't going around skipping through life, you know, with the possibility of a trap door hitting them at any point that is going to tumble them into bankruptcy, right? We're the only country in the world where the number one cause of individual bankruptcy is medical debt, because no other country has medical debt to the degree that we have.
Yeah.
They cover all of their citizens to make sure they are actually healthy. And I would argue that that should be a baseline for what it means to have a civilization, to have a country where we trust our fellow man and want to take care of each other, that we actually have a healthcare system that covers our health and isn't an impossible to navigate labyrinth of trying to figure out prescription coverage, healthcare, and frankly, forcing your insurance companies to cover you when you need it most. It's a broken system and it needs to change. I think Republicans end up banking on the idea that, yes, the system is broken, and so everyone else's should be broken. Democrats and people who believe in universal health care bank on the idea of, yes, it's broken, let's fix it for everybody.
You know, Senator Larson, I can't argue with that. It clearly makes no sense at all that the wealthiest nation on earth is the one that doesn't think that health care is a human right. And the fact that, you know, right, it's for-profit health care in our nation. And you hear people say, well, we can't afford to have that. Well, you know, Senator Larson, part of the reason, first off, I don't buy that the wealthiest nation on earth can't afford to take care of its citizens, since many of the other nations similar to America do it, including Canada. You can't tell me that we can't get it done. The reason that we can't get it done is because the oligarchs and others and people aren't paying their fair share. And so because we have a system, as you well know, and we're looking at Donald Trump right now trying to broker another $4.5 trillion tax break at a time when the nation is struggling economically, and yet, so in order to make sure that they can get this tax break, they've got to cut, you know, Medicaid. And yet the people who support them, you know, Senator Larson, I don't know if they really understand the issues, right? I don't think people really understand at the heart of all of this what's behind the decisions that Republicans are making.
Right. No, I think you're hitting the nail on the head that there is not a deeper understanding of what's going on around healthcare. And frankly, I think a lot of people aren't realizing that this is what's happening nationally. But I'd say, look, every day more and more people are figuring it out. You know, we had a crowd. I had a town hall yesterday in Cudahy. We had standing room only. This was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And a lot of folks showing up wondering what the heck is going on with, you know, why is Elon Musk fishing around in their medical records nationally? And what does that mean? Right. And there's a lot of folks who are on edge because their Social Security checks showed up late for many of them the first time, you know, so they're saying this is having an impact. Right. And they're worried if that's going to come the next time around. I was talking to seniors in the parking lot who are trying to figure out how to shift their money to different accounts because they're worried that now suddenly Elon Musk has access to all of their accounts. And that sounds conspiratorial, right, Earl?
Yes.
But that's actually the truth. Like, it's not conspiratorial. Trump has allowed Musk to have access to anything that he wants. Musk and his minions, his Martians, have gone in and taken access to the most sensitive information of every single American. What they do with it now, we don't know, right? But this is the same group that has allowed four major plane crashes in our country in just the last few months, right, since they've taken over. This is the same administration that has, in that light, decided to fire more air traffic controllers. This is the same group of people who have decided that they are going to be laying off IRS workers at a time where people have questions about how to file their taxes. This is the same group of folks that are trying to fire people at the VA, people
yes.
that are serving our veterans because they think that they don't deserve it anymore. And so these are the same folks who have control of their financial data. So these two lovely women who should have been enjoying the beautiful weather were trying to share information of, like, how the heck do you move your money to a place where Elon Musk is not able to pillage it? And that is a conversation we are having in 2025. And they're going to try to pay for it, double hit them with their tax break. They're trying to pay for that by going after their retirement security. That may not be you right now, but that's somebody's grandparent. And if we don't solve that, that's going to be every American in our country.
You know, Senator Larson, I've said this for many years, long before we got to where we are now. I remember saying that we keep spending all this money on defense because we keep hearing people, well, they're coming to get us. 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 So we got to prepare, and we spend trillions of dollars on defense. And I remember always saying clearly, the real threat is from within our nation. And right. and I fear, because I was watching the conservatives move, you know what I mean, over the last 30 years. And I would say, we've got to be concerned about what's happening inside of this nation. And I say this nation will be taken over from within. And if you look right now, Senator Larson, look at what they've done. And it's only been 7 weeks, Senator Larson. So on the state level and the finances, I was reading something yesterday that said that UW-Madison is going to be sanctioned for having people protest the Gaza war, I mean the Palestinian war, or the Hamas and Israeli war. And so because there were protesters at UW-Madison, they're going to sanction the university for young people doing what they had constitutional rights to do, Senator Larson. Tell me how that makes any sense.
That's not American. That's not American. It's chilling. If you do not have the right to air your grievances with your government, that is the First Amendment to the Constitution. That is in our Bill of Rights, right? And Trump he's issuing these executive orders, which is just, you know, it's basically him talking to his genie Elon Musk and his supporters and saying, I wish this. That is not how America works, Earl. And so he's making these declarations that are BS, right? He is, and one of them is saying that if you are protesting, that you could lose your
your citizenship. You can also lose your citizenship.
End up cutting, right. Right. That is wildly unconstitutional. But given that they have politicized the FBI and they put a right wing nut in charge of the FBI, and you put Pam Bondi, who is somebody who's a right wing nut, in charge of the she's the attorney general.
Yes.
Right? So she is the person
Justice
who
Department.
Is charged with prosecuting. They have politicized both of these. There's a lot of folks who are wondering what's going to happen here. Now, what needs to happen, Earl, is we need to be united, right? That's not just you and I, but this is of making sure that our institutions, the institutions of higher ed, are not caving to this one iota, one shred. Because if they start to cave, then this imaginary power that Trump is pretending that he has becomes real. Right. It's only that if we recognize, like, this is outrageous, this is not allowed in America, this is wildly un-American, and we do protest and we do encourage our protesters, then we continue to have a country. This is a do or die moment for the future of America. We're 249 years in. It's not a guarantee we get to 250. There's no guarantee we made it this long. This is our time to make sure that we fight. And it's not just a matter of having this democracy. It is the ability to petition for a better life for you, for your family, for your kids, and for the future. And I get that it hasn't worked for many people. I'm in that group. My friends are in that group. All of us have you know, taken forever to try and pay off school loans and try to find access to the American dream. And for many people, that has never gotten to them. The social contract was never with them. But if it's ever going to get better, we have to continue to have a system where you can reach out to your elected officials. You can protest and say that we demand better for our country. If we don't do that, we are no longer American.
You know, Senator,
we have become the fever dream of Russia.
You know, Senator Larson, yesterday when I was speaking with the Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice, I remember saying, because the majority of the people who were there were grandparents and great-grandparents, and they were fighting for the your generation and your children's generation. And that's what's at the root of this, man, because our generation had a chance to enjoy America at its apex, right, when the American dream was available to everybody. That's not the case anymore. Hang on one more second, Senator Larson. We appreciate it. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. It's been too long. I can't let this kind of time get by, man, without us touching base, man, your voice of reason. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. You have a question or comment for State Senator Chris Larson?
Yeah, I have a question and a comment on both topics. The Social Security, because I'm 67, I receive Social Security income. And I don't know what I would do without it. And I know history books said that FDR started it in 1935, and he was one of our best presidents. Now, on a subject of private schools that you talked about earlier, my father was a school teacher in St. Agnes Catholic School, and he taught science and physical education. That's what my father did. But when I was a kid, I want your listeners to know, when I was a kid, I was in fifth grade, and playing on the playground, my buddy David Clark come over and said, "John's sister Xavier wants to talk to you on the playground."
Hey, John,
this is true.
I know, but John, I wish I had more time, man. You can tell a story another time. We're running out of time, but thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Senator Larson. I just want to say really quickly, I have a point, but first off, I wanted to thank Senator Larson, because I ran for Alder last year and I lost in Wauwatosa here, and he personally sent me a letter basically encouraging me to stick with it and stay with it and everything like that, and it's one of the reasons I still haven't ruled out running again in 2026. So anyways, I just wanted to thank him for that. As for protests, I like to ask people, you know, when they start ragging about, you know, peaceful protests, nonviolent, and complaining about how it's done and we shouldn't be doing it, what do they think about the Boston Tea Party? and what differences do they see between that protest and what's going on these days? And how do they, how is one, you know, legend of United States, and one is something that we can't tolerate? And lastly, I wanted to say, this past weekend, I attended a GOP rally sponsored by Turning Point, Moms for Liberty, and get this, the John Birch Society was tabling there. It was for Brad Schimmel. The Brittany Kinzer had signs there right next to Brad Schimmel, so she's clearly a Trojan horse candidate. And I managed to ask a question of Representative Tiffany, because he was there and he spoke. And I asked, I saw Glenn Moore at the VA rally on Friday, and I asked Representative Tiffany, you know, Glenn Moore said they're not getting a single vote for the Democrats on this continuing resolution. And so I asked, you know, Tiffany how they think they're going to do it. And he said, I think we have the votes. They're really determined because it's going to give them some leverage. And we have members that don't want to vote on CRs, and I'm one of them. But in this instance, I think it's the right thing to do, because if we can get to September 30th at the end of this budget and we give Doge another 3-4 months to do their work, we can take the new budget on October 1st and we can put all those cuts in there.
Hey, Eric.
So they want to do this CR so they can take the cuts October 1st.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to have Brittany Kinzer on, and I think it's important that we have those views on so people can hear, right? You know, and not, and, you know, and not just be, you know, not knowing. But, you know, Brittany Kinzer is going to be on the Earl Ingram Show, and I'll let you guys know so you can hear for yourself. Thank you very much for the call. Senator Larson.
Thanks. This is great to hear, John, you know, and getting out there at the rallies, and there's tons of things happening for folks to get involved in. My gosh, the John Birch Society is back. We're in, that's wild. Whatever people are willing to do, I think pushing back is key. They're trying to figure out this vote here on Friday, and I'm glad to hear John talk about how he, or sorry, Eric talk about how he is going to be, that he was pushing Tom Tiffany and these Republicans, because talking to the local elected officials is important, because they have to answer for what's happening. They've abdicated a lot of their responsibility and turned it over to Trump and Musk. Anything that they are doing is, if they are not pushing back, is an endorsement for us to continue to backslide away from our democratic ideals and towards autocracy. So, you know, that's it. Just getting out there and continuing to be active is going to make the difference as this stuff moves on. We're never going to know all the information, but we know enough to know they ain't right. And that's enough to get out, get involved in protests, and make sure you're contacting your state and federal elected officials to make sure that they represent what you want to see.
So let me.
Otherwise, you know, they're not doing their job.
So before I lose you, you said contact your officials. Does it really matter?
Yep. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. There is a big piece in Wisconsin for the last 14 years where they have kept saying, like, don't pay attention to the public comments, because otherwise, then they think that you won't call. And there's no excuse not to call. I get that there is, you know, people don't use the phones the same way. I know, Earl, you do. That's
right.
You on the phone. But other folks, you know, is it major? Can I text? Can I text instead of call? No, you got to overcome that. There's no excuse not to call. And that includes if your elected official is on your side, if they're not on your side, if you don't know. There's no excuse not to speak up at this time, because it's the very least. Right. And once you do that, you break through that, there's more that can be done, but you got to start there. Absolutely.
Hey, Senator Larson. Hey, man, thank you. Thank you very much. I deserve a whipping for not having gotten you on sooner, but I won't make that mistake again. Be careful as you continue your drive to Madison. Kiss the babies for us. Up next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.